committee progress. Today we are considering and adopting the committee reports on the customs control, customs duty, and customs and excise amendment bills. The first bill that we'll have to consider is consideration and adoption of the report on customs duty bill. But it's B43, the one that we're talking to. Effectively, we have not done any amendment this one. But in order for our own records, it will be proper that we go clause by clause and we dispose of this item, then we'll then deal with the next two items on the other paper, I mean on the agenda. Agreed? The first one is customs and duty bill. Customs duty bill. As I've indicated, we have not dealt, there are no amendments on this bill. But for record purposes, we'll have to do clause by clause. Or otherwise, if there's any other suggestion from the members, then we can deal with it differently. Yes?
Thank you, Chair. Since we haven't effected any amendment, there are no proposed amendments on the bill. Then that will be page by page, of clause by clause,
okay,
which is also provided for.
Page by page. Okay. Honorable Harris, you had your hand up.
We've been waiting for the SARS's written responses. I believe that they were going to come last night, but they never did. So we now have them in our hand for the first time. So I'm just wondering whether, in terms of procedure, we don't need time as a committee to go through the written responses. I mean, the presentation which SARS gave was useful, but certainly it doesn't contain the detail that we now have before us now. And I think the members need some time to understand SARS's responses, dealing particularly with the duty bill and the control bill, before we start legislating. I think that's, in terms of parliamentary procedure, just the way we would normally do things.
Last response is last night.
What's it? Yeah, I think we only did send the written document through this morning, but there's nothing in the written document that's not in the presentation. The presentation was a very comprehensive presentation, and we dealt with all the issues in the presentation. So all of it, I mean, the contentious issues, the issues around the inland terminals, the penalties, the registration issue that we made a concession on, everything was dealt with in the response document. We basically used our presentation yesterday and just converted it into a sort of, there's some small items, but those were not items that were really in contentious issues or that were contentious.
That is?
But I couldn't disagree more there. Not in the duties bill. The duties bill, I agree there aren't any changes, but it is useful to see for the first time 5 minutes ago SARS's responses to the issues on the duty bill. But certainly even with that bill, I don't think it's appropriate for this committee to continue having only just had sight of the written response. The presentation was covered the highlights, but there were amendments to the text where the bill hinges on how the amendment is formed and the exact way it's phrased. That phrasing we haven't seen until this morning. I don't think it's appropriate for us to continue without being able to apply our minds to the written response, and certainly with the other two bills, to the text which we've now only just got.
So when you say it's not appropriate for the committee to proceed without applying our minds, what are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that we need more than 5 minutes to go through the written response on the customs duty bill, and then when we get to the control and customs and excise bills, we certainly need more time to get our heads around SARS's amendments, which we've only just seen 5 minutes ago.
Honorable Herr Van Rooyen.
I really sympathize with the request of Honorable Harris, but the rest of the matter is that we went through a very laborious and teaching a presentation process yesterday. We even took legal opinions to cater for all these triggers. So if Honorable Harris maybe might be having an issue that he wants to raise, I think he must just subject himself to the process of the day, which simply says he will have an opportunity to engage with these bills clause by clause. But also, Chair, really, it can be the burden of this committee. I mean, the fact that Honorable Harris was not present in the meeting yesterday. So all of a sudden now, the whole work of the committee that went through yesterday must be held ransom because of his absence. It's very unfortunate for us. I mean, it will be very unfortunate for this committee to succumb to such requests. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I went very carefully through the presentation, and the party representative, Honourable Ross, was here, and we spent hours yesterday evening going through exactly what happened. I'm very aware of what was presented in the committee. But even taking the item that you want to consider now, Chair, we have 2.5 pages of responses on the customs duty bill from SARS, which we haven't read. Nobody in this committee has read it. I was hoping it would come through last night, as it was expressed, and we were waiting. We were ready to work late last night to read SARS's response in writing and be ready for this meeting today, but it didn't come, and it's on the desk today. I don't think it's appropriate for these members to be asked, even on item one.
Chair. Order, Chair. Chair, can I ask the Honourable Harris to actually refer us to the document he's referring to? The document he says is the SARS response. Can you refer us to that document? Because we don't have that document. I don't have, and I'm sure the other members don't have that document he's talking about, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, I will. It's if you're proposing that we go clause by clause through the duty bill, Chair, this document.
Okay.
It is draft response document.
Okay.
Version provided
Honorable
to the...
Honorable Harris, I think there's a general consensus in this committee that the issue that you want to raise were dealt with extensively yesterday. Extensively. What you did in your caucus last night is something else. So we shall proceed and go page by page on customs and duty bills. If you've got an issue that you want to raise in terms of SARS responses, raise them as we deal with the bill in the manner in which I am going to outline now. Okay, page one. I've made a ruling, Honorable Harris.
No, Chair, I understand the ruling. I'd just like the minutes to reflect our very strong objection as a party to committees legislating without having seen written responses from SARS on the bills that they've tabled.
We have seen written responses yesterday.
No, we saw a PowerPoint.
Honorable Harris, can you please behave yourself in this meeting?
Chair, can I ask a question?
I don't want to take a question from you. Let's proceed. Page
Chair,
one.
On a point of order.
There's no point of order.
This is a point of order.
Point of order, on a point of order. Proceed.
Please, lead us as you used to do. We cannot allow a situation whereby we are held at ransom by a member who failed to attend a meeting yesterday. And in his absence, he perceives everything to be completely nothing and useless. We cannot allow that situation, and then he undermines this committee.
Okay, we proceed on our members. Page one.
Chair, I have a point of
order.
I have
not appointed you. I have not allowed you to speak.
So no points of orders are allowed from the opposition?
No.
Just from the ruling
party? Page one.
Chair, I've never been in a committee where a point of order is not allowed.
Page two. Page three. Page four. Page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98. That's the end. I put it before the committee. The Standing Committee on Finance, having considered and examined the Customs Duty Bill B43/2013, National Assembly Section 77, referred to it and classified by the GTM as a money bill, report that it has agreed to the bill. Agreed?
Agreed.
Honorable Harris?
Chair, can you note the objection of the DA?
Noted.
And can the minutes please reflect that the objection relates to the fact that the bill was processed clause by clause 5 minutes after the response for Treasury was received?
Well, it's not true. The response came yesterday.
Chair, on a point of order?
Can we move to the next item?
I have a point of order, Chair.
Who are you calling to order?
No, I'm asking for a point of order.
Who are you calling to order?
I'm asking on a point of order, Chair.
Okay.
On a point of order, Chair, twice today you've already said that there was a written response from SARS received yesterday. That is not true as far as I know. If I'm incorrect, please correct me. But I read the very detailed PowerPoint presentation that doesn't contain a written response to each of the issues and certainly doesn't contain redrafted legislation. If I'm wrong about that, then can you please confirm?
Well, you have the right to interpret SARS presentation yesterday in the manner in which you have said, but that does not necessarily mean that the committee agrees with you. Thank you. Can we move to the second item?
Yes, sir.
This, now we are considering the report and on the committee report on the Customs and Exercise Amendment Bill, B442013. What is it, Janet? Can we also take this bill in terms of clause by clause, but I'll go page by page? Page one. Customs and Exercise Amendment Bill. Honorable Harris?
Chair, we've, with regards to this bill, we now have a B bill before us with 9 amendments to the bill. We've only just received these amendments. I do not believe it's procedural, Chair, and I would ask you to ask our legal advisor for advice on the procedure, whether the committee can process a B-bill without having had time to apply its mind to that B-bill.
Does that request? Honorable member? Honorable Aranov?
Chairperson, it's very technical. You know, the amendments, and there's really no substance in this. So we can ask Advocate Jenkins, but you know, I've been in many committees where this is just the way we do it.
Advocate?
Good morning, Chair. Committee is in charge of the procedure within the committee, according to the NA rules. I'm trying to find the exact rule. If necessary, I can refer you to that. But the committee procedure is committee business.
Yeah. Thank you. Kwasi?
Chair, maybe just for clarity purpose, the only reason why these amendments are put before the committee is because when we did the translation from the English version into the second language, we picked up a few translation issues. So it really came as a result of the translation from the English version into the other language. Just for point of clarity.
Judith?
Chair, I agree that we proceed in the manner that we proceed in. There's no substance, it's just technicalities.
Great. Page one. Comments? Page two. Page three. Page four. Page five. Page 6, page 7, page 8, page, okay, which page, on which clause?
Chair, first I need clarity from you. We now have a B bill in front of us. Are you considering, you appear to be going through the original A bill, or rather the B bill before the amendments that have been made or proposed by SARS today. Can you just confirm which bill we're going through and how you intend to process these amendments which we've seen 5 minutes ago?
That's all right.
Thank you.
obviously there are these amendments that are reflected in the clauses, clause 9, clause so and so. So when we come to that, you can refer to this if there's an issue that you want to raise. Thousand.
Sorry,
Chair.
I need clarity.
We are, after all, legislating here. Are you suggesting when we get to clause 9 that you will then refer to this document, propose the change to the text, and get the committee support on it? Okay. Thank you for the clarity, Chair. I believe you're on page 8, although you're going very quickly. But if you are on page 8, Chair, there's a section 5 which amends section, or clause 5 which amends section 18 of the existing customs and excise bill. It's the DA's proposal that we delete clause 5 because as you will see in various amendments we will be proposing to the control bill, we intend to try to preserve the status of inland ports in the legislation, and we hope we can convince the committee that it's the right thing to do. The one clause,
which clause is that?
It's clause 5 of the Customs and Excise Bill that amends section 18 of the Act, amends section 18 of the Act, and our proposal is that we delete clause 5, that we leave section 18 of the Act as is, which will allow carriers to continue delivering containers to inland ports under a bond or a manifest.
Honourable Majamini.
Thank you, Chair. I don't think, Chair, it would be proper that we're talking about amending something while you contravene another act, because according to the act, there is no definition of so-called inland port. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Harris.
I agree with the Honourable Member, but the purpose of the existing Section 18 in the Act is, in effect, to allow the delivery under bond to City Deep. So we are trying to preserve the principle of an inland port, and the existing Section 18 allows that existence. The amendments to Section 18 in Clause 5, in our view, take us backwards and threaten the existence of City Deep, despite the massive investment that various peristatals have made in that facility. So our proposal remains. We may not be trying to preserve an inland port as reflected in the existing Act, but certainly the in principle operation of an inland port depends on Section 18 not being amended. So we do propose the deletion of Clause 5.
Can Honourable Van Rooyen and Madlamini after Van Rooyen?
Chair, I move that the proposal not be supported.
Seconded to that?
Seconded, Chair.
Okay. Honourable Harris?
Chair, before I vote the other way, I would like to know why, if the governing party is proposing not to support this. Perhaps the whip could enlighten us why he doesn't support that proposal.
Honourable.
I think Honourable Dubezana tried a level best to outline, and this was also thoroughly exhausted. We are no longer referring to inland ports. We are referring to inland terminals. So unfortunately, there's no way in which we are going to go back to refer to any provision in this legislation that is going to nullify inland terminals or maybe graduate them to inland ports. There's nothing like inland ports. We are referring to inland terminals. Thank you.
Chairperson, this was clarified yesterday. Maybe just for the sake of Honourable Harris, can we just ask Kwesi again to do it? It's a waste of time, but this was clarified yesterday.
You know, I would have loved that such a proposition be adhered to. But given that we are dealing with quite a huge submission that and response that you got from staff yesterday will be setting a wrong precedent. I think the concern that the DA, I hate to put it in this fashion, but because as committee members here, as much as we come from different political parties, we are committee members, standing committee on finance. Let me say the proposal and the concerns of Honourable Harris
I think that was our concerns at the beginning of the committee, all of us. But after the interaction between the industry, SARS consultation, and Transnet itself, which has put massive investment in the city of Johannesburg, and their responses yesterday, we are quite satisfied that there is no threat to the inland, what do they call it, terminal. There's no threat. And to that extent, Honorable Harris, I think your fears would not survive in terms of the process that we are now. And I think there's no support for your proposal. And there's no reason why people should give you a reason. Okay. Honorable Ross.
Chairperson, yes, yesterday was interesting in the sense that when we spoke about the status of the inland ports, we were briefed that goods could be released from a central point of view, that it's just a technical matter, and that we have an integrated system now, that in fact it's goods are not released technically at a certain location, but in terms of new technology, if I understand that correctly. And that mitigated the situation in terms of specific locations. But when we spoke, and I was very pleased also that we had a legal advisor there yesterday in terms of the professor about the legal arrangements, he said at one point in time that it could be released either at inland or at the coast. And I think the proposal in terms of retaining Section 18 is just an additional measure to ensure that after the extensive consultation sessions that we had, and we could see the fear somehow from industry and especially from the people in City Deep, that we strengthen the position of the inland port still to be relevant in terms of customs. And that is why we've presented some amendments yesterday that I said I would like to give to the committee. It was proposed that the amendments be circulated today, and I still would like to have the option to distribute those amendments. I think we understand that there's been movement and mitigation in this regard, but with regards to the huge responsibility that we have in terms of the consultative process that we had from various members in the consultation process, I would like to second the proposal from Honourable Harris that we strengthen the position and still include our amendments, which strengthens the position of City Deep again, just to make sure that we're on the right path.
Yeah.
Chair, just following up on the fallback clause, that shows that there could be unintended consequences. What we're trying to do is to say, yes, if there's unintended consequences, yes, we have amendments that could be perused by the legal people and perhaps come back to us whether they deem it necessary or not.
Okay, I think, Honourable Member, you have made your point, but it's not sustained in terms of the committee support. We can note what you have said. Thank you. We are moving from page 8. You want to make a comment?
Chair, I'd like to do two things. Firstly, note the objection of the DA on that decision. And secondly, the Honourable Ross asked that we might distribute the text versions of the amendments that we're proposing. This is quite a normal procedure that
members
page under the courtesy of distributing their proposals.
Honourable Harris, you don't have a right to address another member without the chair. You have to do through the chair. No. She's saying order. And I'm the chair of this committee. If you don't want to recognize that I'm the chair of this committee, you are free to leave, like you did in the last meeting. We're not here to have some playing games. If you come here with a bag full of marbles looking for partners to play with, we don't have that time. We don't have that time. I think we've tolerated your antics for quite some time now. And you must stop. You have to stop. This must come to an end. We have agreed, Honorable Members, that you have raised your issue. It's not sustained. We move from page 8 to page 9 now. I'm not taking your hand. Page 9.
Chair, I have a point of order.
To who?
To the chair.
No, I'm not taking it.
Chair, on a
page
point,
9.
On a point of
Honourable
order.
Harris, if you continue to interject, I'll eject out of this meeting.
Chair, what I was saying before...
I'm not giving you a platform to say anything.
Chair, we have a list
I'm
of amendments.
I'm saying I'm not giving you a platform to say anything. Ask your permission first if I agree to for you to speak. I am not on that point now. We are moving to page 9.
Yes.
Agreed?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Fine. No, Honourable Ross, page 9. If you want to raise anything, it must be on page 9.
Can I raise such a point of order, sir? Just on yesterday.
Pardon?
Thank you, sir. I was under the impression yesterday, that, and I also indicated that that it's not proper to submit the amendments yesterday because we will discuss it in the committee today. Is it not proper that I can submit the amendments today?
Well, talk to your amendments. We don't need you to circulate them. Talk to them when as we deal with the clause by clause. We are on page 9. Your proposal on page 5 is not supported by the committee. Page 9.
A point of order on the matter you've just addressed, David Ross. Can I request that you ask the legal advisor whether...
I'm not asking anything. Can you just stop there?
Then
I'm on page 9.
Chair, I would like the minister to reflect in our very strong objection that the written amendments that we want to circulate to the committee in line with the long-standing procedure of this parliament are not being allowed to be circulated.
I'm saying, and you noted your objection. We are now moving forward. Page 9, Honourable Member.
Agreed.
Any comment?
No.
Page 10?
Agreed.
Page 11?
Agreed.
Page 12?
Agreed.
But you must then read it in line with...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
13? 14?
Chair, should you not read in on page 11 in line 38 to omit and to substitute?
What I was going to say, if we don't say anything, it means we agree at the end of the day. We adopt the bill with the amendment as effected. Yes. 14, 15, 16, Harris?
Point of order, I don't believe that's procedural. I believe if we have a text that changes the version that we're going through, we have to, as a committee,
talk to
consider
it.
That change.
Yeah, raise your hand and talk to it.
Chair, if I don't raise my hand, then these proposals from SARS are not legislated. They're not passed by this committee. We have to go through each one and change the text.
Okay. Okay, Honourable Van Rooyen.
Chair, it's a bit unfortunate because we have just agreed as a committee that if there's no disagreement on the proposed amendment, it's taken that the amendments are in order. We have just agreed. So you see, Chair, I mean, if someone was not around trying to organize a march somewhere, it can't be our problem. We have done our work yesterday. Today we are considering these bills clause by clause. And if there are issues on these clauses, let them be dealt with according to your direction, but also according to clause that are obviously dealt with in these bills. So really, Chair, it's just unfortunate that someone is trying to hold us ransom here unnecessary.
Believe me, I'm not trying to hold this committee ransom. I'm simply concerned that if we don't process this bill properly, we could be open to a legal challenge. I think that there's a very real possibility of that if we don't process each amendment formally.
Doing it. You can do it the way you are actually saying it's a conventional way of doing it. But as the committee, we have seen this amendment, and I'm saying as we move page by page, that particular clause that needs to have these changes effected, if we don't say anything about it, it means we are agreeing to these changes. And at the end, we then adopt this bill with the amendment as proposed. Otherwise, you want to speak to everything? Page 11, if you want to do that.
Chair, I'm also a bit confused in terms of procedure now. Can I also just ask you a question, just taking you back to Section 15 in terms of Section 18. Our amendments were not allowed to be presented. If the clause now accepted, should we not register the DA's objection to to clause. Has it been done?
But we've done that.
Okay, thank you.
We've done that. We are on page 12.
Or if you want me to go clause by clause, I'll do that.
No, no, sir. We are present.
Okay. Page 30. Page 40. Great on the amendment. 25. Amendment. 26. Finance, having considered and examined the Customs and Excise Amendment Bill B44/2013, Section 75, referred to it and classified by the JTM as Section 75 Bill, reports the bill with amendments. Agreed? Honorable Harris?
To request that the minutes reflect the objection of the DA on the basis of the fact that we processed this bill within minutes of receiving Treasury's SARS's amendments to the bill.
Thank you. When we debate, you would raise those things in the House. Now is the big one. Can you? Yeah.
Chair, considering the magnitude or maybe the size of this bill, I think it's 800 pages, if not 900 pages. My suggestion to the House is that, or maybe to the committee, is that we consider amendments made to the AP, but also accommodate any amendments that members would like to submit to the AP. I think that is provided for. Thank you, Chair.
I was going to suggest that we take a 5-minute break. But before that, is there support for Honorable Van Rooyen? Are you in support, Honorable Harris?
I need clarity exactly what he's suggesting.
Let me reiterate my suggestion. The A bill has been amended. Could we please look into those amendments, but allow if there are further amendments that members would like to submit? in that fashion, we'll be able then to entertain these bills, or maybe suggested amendments thoroughly, and obviously avoid the process of the normal process of clause by clause. Thank you.
Is it clear, Honourable Harris?
The problem is, Chair, if there's a clause that isn't amended by the B Bill, then in effect, if we do that, it will not have been considered by the committee. So I have the same concern I had earlier that we do need to consider each clause in order to protect ourselves.
Well,
no, Chair, I'm trying to correct those minutes because it's going to be the wrong minutes, like we did not consider each clause. We considered each clause, but we're using page by page. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Harris, what is being proposed is within the committee's right to make a decision on how it wants to handle its business, as Advocate Jenkins has said. It doesn't mean what we would then do if we consider what Honourable Van Ryan is saying is mutually exclusive to the entire bill. It is not. And I think we should then take it in that fashion that we're going to consider the amendments. If there's any other clause that is not reflected here, probably in the main bill, then we can actually talk to that at the right time. Okay. Can we take 5 minutes break so that the blood pressure can go down? Toy bags must remain outside. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sir, can we proceed? We're done with the 5 minutes, please.
Oh, are you done? I didn't have 5 minutes. Well, I was occupied. All right. Now, honorable members, I think for the ease of our discussion, let's go page by page and talk to those clauses that amendments need to be affected to. If there's any other new amendments to the bill or to a particular clause, raise it as we go through the pages. Page one, just bear in mind as we go through these pages, but also look at this document where the amendments are and reflecting in the pages. In terms of this bill, effectively the first amendment, if one was to go through this, you were focusing on the amendments only, will be on page 48, page on 49. But we are going to do page by page. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 46. Honorable Harris?
Yes, Chair. Chair, I have a list of 10 quite detailed amendments to the text. I must ask you again for permission to distribute those 10 amendments, which we've made copies of for the members. The alternative is that I read them all, and it might be quite difficult for members to get their head around what I'm proposing.
For which page?
Well, they begin on page 46.
Which clause?
A new definition on page 46.
Yeah?
But...
Which definition?
Chair, my request is for permission to distribute the amendments so the members can have them in front of me, of them, and they can see
no,
what
I'm saying. No, just read. You can distribute that the later page.
May I just read while I read?
Yeah, read,
okay.
Read.
Thank you. Okay, Chair, under on page 46, I'm asking for the or proposing the insertion of a definition for inland port, meaning a dry port or terminal located in the hinterland serving as dry port for customs examination and clearance of containerized cargo.
Madam,
the request is declined, Chair. We don't, I don't agree.
Maybe before we ask why we are not agreeing, I think the earlier submission is sustained. If maybe we, it happens that we ask why we don't agree. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. No agreement? Honorable Harris?
Chair, I have read SARS's PowerPoint from yesterday and heard the argument, and the reason why I'm still arguing for this insertion is because I don't believe that the changes we have made will necessarily preserve our ability to clear goods at City Deep, notwithstanding everything that we've heard from SARS, because the clearance destination will now, in the new framework, have to be Durban, and that does trigger all of the resultant congestion and effects on the economy that we've been concerned about from the beginning. So inserting this definition here, in line with all the other amendments which the members hopefully now have, will provide the insurance that we don't threaten the existence of that container terminal.
Chairperson, there are three senior council opinions on this issue. And it exactly, I am going with the senior council opinions, and I think it's not true what Mr. Harris is saying.
Thanks, Chair. There was a mover, Chair, that is not agreed to, so I propose that we move. We had the explanation from yesterday. Yeah, thanks.
Okay. Honorable Harris, you don't, there's no need to further motivate. We can just note the point that we have raised on this particular matter.
Ruled on?
Yeah.
But how did you rule?
That your proposal for the amendment is not sustained.
Then can you please note the objection of the DA?
Exactly. You're objecting on your own proposal.
Rejection of it by the committee.
Okay. Can object to democracy. So, you know when the majority says this is where we're going, and you say they are objecting, and you object against the majority, you're objecting to democracy. Okay. Page 47. Page 48, 49. Can you read it, 49 plus 1, with line on page 46, and from line 46, agreed?
What, page 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66. Honorable Harry.
Chair, on page 66, and while I'm going there, just to respond to the, because it is on a similar point, my amendments to this control bill are the three types. This falls under the attempt to retain the status of City Deep. It's another resultant change. And I'm afraid to respond to Honorable Kunov's general...
Which clause?
It's clause 31 on page 66. But Honorable Kunov suggests that we have counsel that has argued that this bill will not have that effect. In my short experience in Parliament, it is always possible to get a legal opinion on almost anything. And I'm afraid we have not satisfied ourselves, despite SARS's extensive efforts, that City Deep will not be negatively affected. So the proposal for 31 is to insert a 1F, it's actually, sorry, on page 67, where we are asking for a 1F that reads, inland ports as places where cross-border trains may enter or leave the Republic, because we need to infer the same status to inland ports as we do to seaports and other types of crossings.
I think this argument has been settled yesterday. And clearly, in terms of the current definition of ports of entry, there's no inland port.
No, thank you, Chair. The clause 31 doesn't talk about that, Chair. It gives us the places, the sea, the road, the rail, the air. So I don't know what the Honourable Harris is talking about. And that thing has been exhausted anyway.
Honourable Judith.
Chairperson, I move as the committee that we don't accept the amendments, the member that is proposing to F. We have inland port, we don't have terminal, so we don't want to go to that discussion. So I propose that we move. Thanks, Chair.
Harris?
Chair, I'd like the members, if that is their argument, to tell me how do we preserve the status of City Deep if an inland port or some other status that might apply to City Deep does not appear in this list. Because this clause defines where customs take place. And how on earth can customs take place at City Deep if City Deep is not one of the entities on this list? That is the point of my insertion.
Yeah.
And if the members are satisfied that customs can still take place at City Deep, I don't see how this law provides for that.
You know, it's unfortunate that in your last caucus last night with your colleague, he himself was very much satisfied yesterday, Honorable Ross, about the explanation on this particular matter. So we can't reopen that. That matter has been adequately addressed, and committee members are quite satisfied with that. And I'm sorry, if Honorable Harris, you don't have that explanation by now. We can't start again. And I think I shall sustain the objection to your amendment by the committee members, and we shall note your objection also that we have objected as a committee. Honorable Van Rooyen.
For the sake of time and progress, Chair, I wonder if it's in order for us to submit that in all these provisions where this argument is provided for, could we agree that this is the position of the committee?
Okay.
So as we don't go back, I mean, in seconds.
When?
Seconded, Chair.
Yeah, what I would not, and from where I'm sitting, I will not suppress what he wants to raise in the committee. He'll continue to raise whatever he wants to raise in any clause. And then it's up to the committee to decide whether they want to entertain it or not. Agreed? Let's move forward. Page 67. We have passed page 68. Page 67, Ross?
Because you mentioned my name, can I just say that yesterday I've asked extensive questions with regards to the status of City Deep and how that will be changed. And the assurance that we had was that the legal status of City Deep as a terminal or as an inland port will not be changed. That was a legal opinion expressed by the professor in law in the meeting. That mitigated the circumstances. And we thought it proper to insert in Section 31 to define a place of entry or exit, just because of the huge consultative 32, huge consultative processes that we had, and to also the concerns with regard to the Chamber of Commerce, and we thought in this addition that will strengthen the position. But certainly, if Mr. Lowe can just in a paragraph once again reiterate his commitment that the status of City Deep has not changed as a designated entry or exit, and that it can still be an inland port being a place of entry in terms of practicality. Because of the change in the system of the overall systems that we now have, that you don't work with an entry point at sea level or entry point at inland, but that it's actually, in terms of documentation, being done electronically. So that is where the change... And I think I've repeated that. If Mr. Lowe can just give that assurance again, I would appreciate it.
No, you say he should give that assurance again. The assurance was given yesterday. We don't need him to repeat it. Page 67, passed. Page 68? Page
60? No, Chair, I had my hand up on 67. There's another amendment there to clause 32. So what clause 32 does is sets out where you may enter or exit the country for customs purposes. And again, notwithstanding Saaz's arguments, I am still not clear how, if a inland port or some other status that City Deep falls under is not on this list, how on earth we can process customs there. So my proposal is that, or our proposal is under 32.1, that we add another, under 32, we add another subsection 5, that adds City Deep, effectively, an inland, so it would read 32.5, an inland port designated as a place of entry or exit in terms of Section 31.1F may be used as a place of specific origin and or destination where containerized cargo may enter or leave the Republic on a vessel's manifest. Because if we don't do that, Chair, then the vessel, the manifest will be forced to end at Durban, for example, and you'll have to get a new manifest to move it up to Joburg. So preserving the status of City Deep as a place where the manifest can end is dependent on us adding that subsection 5, and that is what I propose to the committee.
Yeah, no, you know, again, those issues were raised yesterday and were clarified. Port of entry basically is the border in this country. There's no any other port of entry called inland port of entry. You can't enter South Africa. Probably that's why I've got motors found in Johannesburg, and nobody knows how it arrived there. Serious threat to the lives of ordinary citizens in this country. Can't argue about these things as if we're in a vacuum. This is about life and death and the economy of this country. Now, this issue that you are raising was adequately addressed yesterday, and I don't think we need to belabor this point further than what it has been belabored on yesterday. Now, we move to page 68, Honourable Members. Page 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77. Agreed the amendment? 78,
yeah, I mean, failure to do such a thing will fall victim to the aspirations of people who were busy arranging matches and dealing with failed measures while we're busy here dealing with the serious issues of the country. You know.
Yeah. Well, in life, we do have still bonds, so we shouldn't concern ourselves that much about still bonds. But I think I take your point that this is the committee meeting considering pieces of legislation before it. You have made a proposal, Honorable Harris. I deviated, basically, just to allow. No, take your hand up. Just to allow that some sort of information should be imparted to you. The information that Godsey has shared with us is what we have already had and understand. That there is no threat or concern. You see, if we want to deal with operational and detailed matters of how this thing is going to happen, as if SARS will not have the capacity to can handle its own or the implementation and administration of this law that we are passing, we are making our own mistake. Ours is to go, once we have passed the legislation, and see, in terms of our oversight role, whether they are able to execute the law in terms of how we pass the law ourselves. So I don't think we need to spend a lot of time dealing with details and operational matters. This is principle and policy issues that we're addressing as legislators. Last comment.
I think it was entirely appropriate for SARS to weigh in there because the amendment that they were proposing was not presented yesterday. It was only presented.
You were not there.
No, I know it wasn't presented yesterday, Chair, because I've read the presentation and I've heard the report. So, Chair,
can I say this? Don't provoke other committee members. Don't speak on their behalf when you're not in a meeting. Speak for yourself that I was not there. Don't say it was not presented. So, just complete. Conclude.
Can I clarify something, please? There's a big difference in parliamentary custom between the word point of order, which a member uses and make
I'm
a
saying
point,
proceed.
And the word order.
Proceed.
And if a member tells, shouts the word order, they're effectively calling the member talking.
Honorable Harris, you see, when the chair speaks, simple logic dictates, listen to the chair. That's simple logic. Not logic systems that says 1 + 1 = 0, carry 1. That's too complicated. But simple common sense. Now, I'm saying I've given you the platform to respond to the issue that you have raised, not to address another member. You have made proposals, and it has been responded to. We need to move on. I speak to that.
Chair, I understand the point made by SARS about a container terminal. It's important that we have a definition for it, but it is not a place where a manifest can end. And that is the risk to trade and the risk to the economy and the risk, in fact, to Johannesburg, which is pretty far from my constituency, which includes Cape Town, which is probably, along with Durban, going to be a massive beneficiary of this piece of legislation. Because from now on, notwithstanding everything that SARS has said, and I have a very clear understanding of their explanation, but it doesn't satisfy me that...
Point of order, sir.
Okay.
Chairperson, really, we can't do this to ourselves. It's excruciating. We've had the explanation. As the member initiated, we didn't have. We had the same explanation from SARS. It was delivered over and over again, the purpose of this law that we're doing. Now, the member has had the opportunity to present what he thinks should be an amendment. Now, Van Rooyen has moved that we don't agree to that, and I'm seconding that. So we can't have the member deliberating again with explanation with SARS, almost as if we're deliberating with SARS in a committee. We are considering a bill here. Can we proceed in the session? You know, Chairperson, some of us will keep quiet because we respect you so much. Other than that, really, Honorable Harris also refers to us as a joke. Now he wants to proceed with jokes again and make us a joke like him. Really, our patience is really tested here. Thanks, Chair.
Can we just dismiss from degenerating into personal issues? Let's address matters before us as a committee. Honorable Harris, I think your proposal that you've made SAFT has responded to, which is not even supposed to be the issue for me. Honorable members are saying they don't see the logic or the need for us to effect that change. It has been you proposed, it has been objected by Honorable Van Rooyen and seconded by Honorable Judith. So I think we need to proceed. It's either we just record your own proposal, which was not accepted by the committee. And you proceed.
My objection should be noted, but I also need to clarify the accusation that I called the members a joke. I definitely did not, and the record needs to reflect that I did not, because that's quite a serious allegation.
Okay, page 88, 89, there is an amendment, 89, with amendment, 90, 91, 92, with an amendment. Honourable Harris?
Chair, on 91, the proposal that the members hopefully have before them from us is that under 95.1a, that we add a subclause 3 that reads, if taken off, comma, are not removed from the customs controlled area in which the goods were taken off, comma, or placed on a different vessel, comma, aircraft, or railway carriage.
You say you propose an insertion between?
It would be a new 95.1A3.
Mm-hmm. Read it again.
It would read, if taken off, are not removed from the customs controlled area in which the goods were taken off, comma, or placed on a different vessel, aircraft, or railway carriage.
What's
the rationale of this?
What are you addressing with that honorable area?
Chair, the attempt here is to allow for equipment that is part of the ship. This was a proposal from one of the presenters. I don't have the detail of exactly where it came from. But equipment that is part of the ship is often taken off to the quayside or another place next to the vessel to increase working room on the vessel. And one of the presenters said that it will be unduly cumbersome to require an import or export declaration to be passed in these cases where there's clearly no risk to SARS. And we thought that that was a relatively sound suggestion. And so we think that the proposal will allow for that arrangement.
Madam Mead.
I don't think we can allow that because it's an unmeasurable suggestion. Thank you, Chair.
So your objection. Any second that's the objection? Honorable Judith. Honorable Harris, your proposal is not sustained. Let's move to page 91. 92.
You note the objection in the
moment. 92, 93, 94. You must keep track. 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 100, 101, amendment 102, 103, 104, 105, 106, 107, 108, 109, 110, 111, 112, 113, 114,
115, 116, 117,
Honorable Harris. In 117, we also had a rather reasonable proposal from, I think it was the freight forwarders, yeah, represented by Bowman's, that we amend clause 174B. So delete the existing 174B and insert the words, the customs authority may not refuse an amended clearance declaration submitted to it in terms of paragraph A unless the customs authority finds that the amended clearance declaration contains errors or is invalid. And that's the end of the amendment. The motivation that they provided this committee is that there's no purpose to refusing a valid amendment application, irrespective of where SARS is in relation to their process of detecting an irregularity. So accepting or refusing the amendment at any point does not affect the outcome. SARS always has the power to act, and giving them the power to refuse a valid amendment, the presenter said, is counterproductive and obstructive, and I think they make a good point, and I think changing it in line with what I'm suggesting would help with that concern.
Members, is this a proposal? Judith?
Chair, I think they may not refuse the step at the end of the line in that paragraph B. However, Chair, I'm moving that we leave it as is. Thanks.
Seconded.
Honorable Harris, your proposal falls off.
Note the objection, please.
Yeah. Page 119. Yes, with amendments. 119. 120. 121. 122. 189,
various things in the presentation, and they've done them. But
if I look at their amendments, which are on page 16 of the B-bill that they presented this morning, the way they phrased it provides leniency for bona fide errors only when there's no risk of a loss in revenue, or revenue prejudice, as they call it. Now, it's quite difficult to think of a case where that really matters, where that wouldn't apply. I mean, the nature of customs business is that they are obviously assessing various risks, from security right through to risks that import provisions have been breached, or export provisions. But really, what the clause that they've added here says is that they will only accept a bona fide error if there's no revenue implication. And I just think we're casting the net far too wide there. I mean, our committee's role is not to lie back and allow SARS to do whatever they want. I think the members understand that. We're here as a balance of power. SARS has the authority to impose tax, and our committee is one of the many institutions in this country that needs to balance that power with the interests of civilians, of business.
No,
and I think in this case...
Just go to that point. You're not addressing the meeting.
Well,
Chair... The background that's not easy. It's when you address the meeting.
No, I'm justifying my proposal, which is that we remove the words "other than information that may result in revenue prejudice" from SARS's amendment to clause 876. For all of the reasons that I was busy explaining, we need to provide a balance to SARS's powers, and essentially, for most cases, this bona fide concession that they've made will not kick in, because most issues would have revenue implications. And I think if someone has made a genuine error, committed inadvertently and in good faith, and it has revenue implications, we should allow them a break there as well. That's the way this committee can balance SARS's powers, and that's why I suggest the deletion of those nine words.
Honorable Judith, the proposal?
Chairperson, I think the power is balanced. Bona fide is correct, and I'm agreeing to what is written here, and I move in that regard. Thanks.
Yes. And
I second the move.
The question is not bona fide. The question is when something has revenue implications. So even if it's a bona fide mistake, but it has revenue implications, the penalty is imposed. I just think that's we're not balancing SARS's power sufficiently. So I accept Judith's points about bona fide. The question is whether Honourable Judith agrees or disagrees with the idea that if it has revenue implications, we should lift that bona fide concession.
I think your point has been made and your proposal has been made. It has not gained the sufficient support, so your point falls off. Honourable Harris, 226.
Can you please note the objection?
No. By so saying, it's noted. 226, 227, 226, 326, 327, 328, 329, 330, 331, 332, 333, 334, 335, 336, 337, 338, 339, 340, 341, 342, 343, 344, 345, 346, 347, 348, 349. Sorry, Honourable
Harris. Chair, I know that you and the members think that I raise these issues because I'm trying to filibuster or waste the time of the committee, but this is the amendment to 348 is On page 348, to clause 3938. Thank you. Sorry, 942. Is exactly what I'm talking about when I say this committee needs a chance to get their head around proposals that SARS makes. So what we saw today in SARS's submission is an extensive fallback clause that they referenced in their presentation yesterday. They spoke to extensively, but what they didn't do is give us the text so that we could see exactly how they intended to impose this fallback clause. So I, Chair, have not had a chance to see how they've set out to tackle it. I haven't applied my mind to the proposal that they've made this morning. So I'm faced, unfortunately, with the task of putting forward our proposal for the fallback clause, which may or may not be different. I'm not sure what's in their submission because I haven't had a chance to see it. And I need to put that forward now. So our proposal is under section 942 to add a, really several clauses to the section. I hope that the members now all have my text in front of them because it's quite complicated. We can do this two ways, Chair. I can read it, the whole page into you, or I can simply refer to the text that has been distributed. Okay. Well, I think I'm proposing that we change the title of the section to read Rules to Facilitate Transition, as it now reads, but then add the words and to address unforeseen and unintended consequences, anomalies, or incongruities. And then we rewrite section 942 around three subsections. And the first would read 9421, the commissioner may insert the word subject to sections 903 sub 2 and sub 3, comma 904 and 906, make rules, and then delete the words not inconsistent with this part to regulate. And then under subsection A, add the words to regulate before the implementation of any provisions of this part, including any principles set out in 949. Under 9421B, put the words to regulate before any transitional matter not provided or not adequately provided for in this part, if subsection 1, the absence of such provision or of adequate provision may put the payment or collection of tax or compliance with any applicable legislation at risk, or subsection 2, regulation of such matters otherwise necessary for an orderly and effective transition, and then add a new subsection C that reads, to address any unforeseen or unintended consequence or any anomaly or incongruity that may arise from the implementation or enforcement of a provision of this Act, the Customs Duty Act or the Excise Duty Act, and then add a new subsection 2, so 942 subsection 2 would be rules made in terms of section 1 sub C. A may suspend, modify, or provide for a departure from a provision referred to in that subsection, or make such other provision, comma, as may be necessary for addressing the unforeseen or unintended consequence, comma, anomaly, or incongruity, semicolon, 942(2) subsection B must be aimed at substantially reinstating the legal position under the 1964 Act if that Act regulated the matter before the effective date, in a way that avoided the unforeseen or unintended consequence, anomaly, or incongruity, colon, and then subsection C, may not have the effect of reducing or increasing any person's liability for import or export tax, or sub 2, entitlement to a refund or drawback, and subsection D, remain in force for a period of 1 year unless subsection 1, ratified by an Act of Parliament before the expiry of that period, semicolon, or subsection 2 repealed earlier. Then the last subsection 3 under 942 would be rules made in terms of subsection 1C only if it is not possible to effect timelessly any necessary amendment to this Act, comma, the Customs Duty Act.
Hold on, I'm following you, Honorable Harris. It's almost the same what you are saying. As you read, I'm reading what is here. So I'm not sure what is the difference.
Chair, I'm not sure either because I haven't had a chance to compare my submission to SARS.
Oh, okay, so fine, you can conclude. It may be that is covered, what you are raising.
It's a very good point, it may be. Or the excise duty to address the relevant unforeseen or unintended consequence, anomaly or incongruity. And lastly, subsection 4 would read subsections 1C, 2 and 3 lapse on a date 5 years from the effective date. Now, Chair, that is what I'm suggesting. I have not had the time to compare it to what SARS is proposing, but one of the consequences of not being in sufficient time, being given sufficient time, is that we can't make these sort of comparisons and we're forced to legislate in a very compromised manner. So that is our proposal.
Madam?
Can I move that we adopt the amendments as they are given to us by staff?
Okay. Judith? Madam?
I second the move, Chair.
All right. Honorable Chabalala, your head was open.
No, I said the move, Chair, that we move.
Okay. Honorable Harris, I think as you are going through your submission, almost word by word is what is in here, most of what you have raised. And therefore, the support, I mean, the proposal by Madlamini and seconded by both Ma Adams and Judith that we adopt the amendments as reflected from the submission of staff stand. Can we move to 349?
No, the objection of the DA.
Yeah.
Honourable Harris is objecting to.
That the committee has objected to his proposal.
Right.
The majority decision is not accepted to him.
Alright, thank you.
Alright. But in terms of content, what he has actually raised is almost the same.
Yeah.
That's the question, Chair. Why? What is the objective?
No, that's fine. We note what he says, you know, not in content. 349? 350? 351? 352? 353. That brings us to the end of this voluminous customs control bill. I put it before the committee. The Standing Committee on Finance, having considered and examined the customs control bill D45/2013. National Assembly Section 75 referred to it and classified by the JTM as a Section 75 bill, reports the bill with amendments. Mover seconded? Seconded? Ma Adams?
I move for the adoption, Chair.
Seconded? Honorable Goranov, thank you. Honorable members, this brings us to the Honourable Harris?
Chair, can the minutes reflect the objection of the DA?
If they have allowed the committee to work throughout and then you objected at the last moment, but it's fine, we know that. Thank you. I'm attaching my signature here. Bind the committee members that they have agreed, signed, and stamped. Okay, Honourable Member, thank you for your contributions and your cooperation. We will probably meet as other business of the committee continue to prevail. Thank you very much. Gossi, Franz Tomasek, Neighbor, Fantis, and the rest of the team from SAP, thank you very much for really spending a lot of time.